You to Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. We're so glad that you've joined us today. And I want to speak to you today. The title of my message is Choose Ye This Day Whom You Will Serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But before I begin, I would like, as I have already asked the Lord to anoint me and to give me his special presence, I'm going to bow my head, if you'll bow with me, and we'll ask for his anointing. Lord, I thank you today that you have promised to be with us. We've asked you to be here in our midst, even if there were only one person, or if there are two, or if there are three, or if there are thousands. I thank you, Lord, that you have anointed me to share the word that you gave to me, and that you anoint our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're living in uncertain times. Some of us have been discouraged over the times, and they're unsettled. These are unsettled times. There's been economic turmoil. There have been wars. There's been sickness and threats of disease and sickness. And most of the things that people have relied on for security have been shaken or have been swept away. We're living in unsettled times. But God has not been shaken. No matter what goes on in this world around us, God is stable. He is a sure foundation. And he is a solid strength and a foundation for us. When things seem hopeless to us, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. God is calling us to make a firm decision. He's calling us to make a choice to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord, we don't get discouraged because other people have said, well, it's hopeless, there is no hope. But God is calling us to make that decision to serve the Lord, regardless of the circumstances surrounding us and regardless of the choices that others make. Just because somebody else makes a choice doesn't mean that you have to choose the same thing that they have. When I was in college years ago, I remember one of the studies. They said they experiment all the time, and they said you can let somebody go to a traffic light, and it can be red, a pedestrian, and if that pedestrian will walk across, it is most likely that others will follow. Many times we think if somebody else is doing it, I guess I'll just go ahead. Or if I've seen sometimes the traffic light stays red for a long time and a car finally will go on and they say, forget this, I'm going to just go across. It must be broken. And there will be others that follow. And so it is today that many people have made choices and they've become discouraged and they've made choices that others follow. But if there were ever a day that we need to stand firm in our convictions, it is today. We cannot waver. There are some who are watching us and are depending on that stability that we can bring by our choices. We need to take a stand for righteousness and be lights in the darkness. Lights in the darkness. We cannot embrace the darkness of sin and ungodliness. There are too many churches, too many religious groups, too many Christians that have said, well, I guess it must be okay now. We're going to go ahead and accept this because the whole world is demanding that. But God wants us to take a stand and to be lights in the darkness. King David said in Psalm 101, verse 2, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. He said, I'll be careful to lead a blameless life. I will walk in my house with a blameless heart. The first place that we need to show the righteousness and the character of God and make that decision and let it shine is right in our own home. Around those, sometimes people relax and they think, oh, well, I'm not in the church. I'm not going to church. I'm just at home. But that is where our righteousness and our convictions and our decisions are most seen in the beginning. A lifestyle of integrity begins in the privacy of our own homes before we can impact our families. Our families look to us and they remember things. If Dad uses swear words, The children may not use it immediately, but they will accept it as okay. We have to be careful to live a life of integrity wherever we are. Our communities, we must show our faith and our integrity in our communities. Make a decision for righteousness and our nation, and then we can impact our nation. Consider Joshua, who was determined to serve the Lord even if others did not, even if they chose to serve other gods. And I make that gods in small letters. There are gods that are not the true God. And he said, even if you choose to serve those gods, he said, choose today whom you're going to serve. There are some in our world today who have once walked with God and have known his blessings and his favor, but they have bowed to the pressure of the culture. You and I know people like that, and it makes us sad. It's heartbreaking to see that they have bowed to the culture and said, well, I guess it's okay. Maybe God didn't mean what he said. And they've bowed to that pressure. Perhaps Satan has whispered to them, did God really say it that way? And they interpret the scriptures different. They've decided to excuse the sin of violating God's commands and have embraced ungodliness. And this is a time when if we ever embraced the godliness, the character of God, and the Word of God, we need to embrace it now more than ever before. Joshua, the 24th chapter, verse 15, Joshua said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We need to say, in my house, we serve the Lord. This will not happen in my house under my roof. The aged Joshua, he had led the people, and he is up in years. And the last time, he gathered the elders of Israel for the last time, and he rehearsed their history. He reminded them of where they had been and their relationship to their God, to Yahweh. And we need to rehearse, we need to remember the things that God has done for us in our lives. How many times we do the complaining, we say, nothing's going right, this is wrong, and that's wrong, and it didn't happen the way we wanted it to in politics or whatever it is. And we look at the negative, but we need to begin to rehearse and to remember how many times God has been there for us and he's brought us through those difficult times. And it wouldn't hurt if we just write them down. Maybe we need to post them on our walls. We need to remember them. Much of our history, unfortunately, has been altered or erased from our minds and our textbooks today. Our history is being wiped out because the world, Satan does not want our children to remember how God has intervened for our ancestors and how we relied on them and how many times God has brought us out and he's been there for us. In Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, verses 18 through 20 there, when God is talking through Joshua, he said, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands, whatever it takes to remember the word and the statutes of God. What is it that he says? He says, bind them on your foreheads. He told the people to remember them. And whenever you meet somebody, your neighbor, they'll see it there. It's reminding them of what God has done. Teach them to your children. And he says, talk with them, talk about them when you sit at home. When you walk along the road, talk about these things that God has done in your life. Not about the problems that you have. Not about all of those obstacles you're facing. He said, talk about what God has done for you when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I think it's interesting. We can go into a house, somebody's home, and it's pretty obvious what their convictions are and what's going on in their lives. We see on the walls, or we see all the decor of the home. We see many things that tell us something about that person and their convictions and what God has done. I walked through I walked through Hobby Lobby the other day, and I really was going with my granddaughter. She needed to get something. She's making these items to make a little extra money, and these, what are they, vases or water bottles, and she's puts designs on them, and she's selling them. Anyway, and I walked in there with her. I said, well, I'm going to let you look, and I'm just going to look around. And Hobby Lobby is a really a fun place to go, except that you get dragged down. You can't get out. There are too many things you like to look at. But I walked past a plaque that it always catches my attention, and I didn't have a place to put it. I don't really have any place to put it. My house is already full of things that I've had for too many years. I have years behind me, so I've accumulated things. But I couldn't help it. I picked up this plaque, and it said, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And it was marked down, you know, 50% off. So, of course, I walked out with it. I still don't have, I don't know where I'm going to put it. But, you know, we have convictions. We have things that we stand by. I will cling to that. That cross is, it talks about what God means to me. And so Joshua said in the 24th chapter, verse 14, he said, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. We must be faithful today to serve the Lord with all faithfulness. And Joshua said, throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped. You may have had things that your family has held in reverence, and they have worshipped gods that God doesn't want us to worship. He said, get rid of them. Throw them out. And he said, and serve the Lord. Reminding the people of God's protection and provisions, Joshua exhorted the people to make a commitment. We need to make a fresh and a new commitment. He told them to fear the Lord. What does that mean, fear the Lord? It means be afraid to dishonor him. Have such a respect and honor for him that I don't want to do anything that is displeasing to him. And he said, reverence and stand in awe of him. I used to tell my kids and the young people that I taught, they'd use the word, they said, oh, that is awesome. I said, you don't understand the meaning of that word, awesome. There is one, only one that is worthy of that word. We've taken away the significance of it, I guess you could say. But God is awesome. We stand in awe in his presence. As I was telling you this morning, my daughter said I was in awe in the presence of God. His spirit was so heavy. I just was in awe. Joshua told them to serve the Lord in sincerity and put away other gods. Many people today profess to be monotheistic, in other words, serving only one God. But in actuality, they practice polytheism, many gods, many sub-gods. We have, and you say, well, what is a god? Well, let's read again. I'll get to that. What is a god in our lives? It's anything that can control us and that we put first place in our lives. Joshua, again, I'll read. Joshua said in the 24th chapter, verse 15, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, and he's telling the people this, he has rehearsed all of the blessings that God has given them and how they've overcome their enemies and how many times they have triumphed because of God. And he said, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, people, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served before or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living, but as for me and my household, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. He said, remember the gods. Have they done anything for you, these other gods? And we know that, I'll get to that in just a minute, about what do those gods represent. Joshua called the people to make a decision whether they would serve God or the gods of the world. God is calling us to make that decision. Will we serve the Lord or will we serve the gods of this world? Every person has a god. His or her god is that passion which governs our lives. The passion that governs my life, that causes me to make decisions, that thing is my God. The atheist bows his knee to his intellect, his disbelief in God. This is his God, his intellect. Some people worship knowledge. Their God is the Baal of today, knowledge. In Joshua's day, there were many gods, Baal, knowledge. Abram's father worshiped this god. Terah worshiped that god. But Abram was called, God called him to worship him only. He laid aside that god. Mammon, the things that are created. People have worshiped those things. And they represent, you know, anything created. I hate it when I hear on the news, Mother Nature this. Who's Mother Nature? You know, it's the stupidest sounding phrase to me. Our God is in control of our climate, and our God is still sitting on the throne, and he is the one in charge. Molech represents sensual excitement. We have people that worship those gods today. Just like in Joshua's day, there are many gods to whom we can bow and worship. We have a choice. We can make the choice. Joshua was telling them, make the choice. I presented to you and reminded you of what your God has been to you. And these false gods have never done anything but bring harm and discouragement. The power of choice is a gift from God. I have heard people say, well, why did God make us with that duty that we must make the choice? I remember that. I guess I can tell it since he's not around anymore. My husband, before we married, he says, I hate the fact that I have to make a choice. I don't want to choose. He didn't want to choose to serve the Lord. And he was saying, why didn't I just die at birth? Why do I have to make that choice? Well, of course, he did make that choice. He turned his life over to God. But this is a gift from God. He wants us to choose to honor him, to choose to serve him. He doesn't want to force us to do it. He wants us to choose. We must recognize it as such. It is our choice, and we use it discreetly, carefully. Some people exercise poor judgment so much so that the laws are made to restrict their choices. They don't have any choices because they don't know how to make a good choice. Believing in God is a matter of choice. We can choose to believe and we'll discover all we need to support that choice. When you choose to believe, the Word of God supports it. We can choose not to believe and we'll develop arguments to support that decision. The intellectual factors do not determine one's choice, but they are developed after the choice is made. I justify the decision based on what I really want to do. What do I want to choose? There's a young man that's living a homosexual lifestyle, and he takes scripture, and he quotes it, and he justifies the lifestyle that he wants. But the Word of God is still true, but he has twisted it. So we can decide, make a choice, what is it that I want to believe? And then we can find justification for that. Choice to believe in God is a faculty of the spirit, not of the intellect. It is of the heart, not the mind. My spirit, God is spirit, and I worship him in spirit and in truth. Some people say, well, I can't understand God, so I'm not going to worship one I can't understand. Well, if you could understand him, he would not have been the creator. He could not have designed and done what he did if he were in the scope of our understanding. In Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, verses 15 through 20, God spoke to his people under the leadership of Moses there, and he says the same thing to us today. He says, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction, two different sides. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land. We can make that choice. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, he says, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land. This applies to us today. God is still saying that we have choices to make. We think we just live here and we can just go on, but that's not the way it works. He said, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. We choose, and based on our choices, we bring upon us those very things, either blessings or curses. He said, now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. You see, our children are blessed when we choose to receive blessings. It's passed to them as well. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land that he swore to give to you, to your fathers. If we choose to believe, we receive God's blessings. If we choose not to believe, we have no promise of God's blessings, but rather the opposite. Joshua said, again, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I was reading about, like I said, I went through the Hobby Lobby and I picked up that little plaque. And I got to thinking and I thought, what is it? Who wrote that? Who wrote that song? And why did he write that song, or he or she? And so I did some research. And there was a young evangelist named George Bernard. In 1912, he wrote that song. He was heckled. He was an evangelist. He was heckled incessantly by several young people at a revival meeting in Michigan. They were making fun of him and just harassing him. Troubled by their disregard for the gospel, Bernard turned to Scripture to reflect on the work of Christ on the cross. He was looking, how do I witness? What do I say to him? And he says, he later recalled, he says, I seemed to have a vision. I saw the Christ and the cross inseparable. They were merged. It was all together. And then he wrote that song, The Old Rugged Cross. He says, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. We know how it goes. It says, so I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. We need to cling to that redemptive message that God has provided for us in our lives. He went on to write, and he said, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction to me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. In the old rugged cross stained with blood so divine, such a wonderful beauty I see. There are some who don't like to talk about the blood, but it's only through that blood that we have redemption. He said, a wonderful beauty I see, for 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Then he says, and we need to say that today as we make a choice, to that old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away where his glory forever I'll share. I want to cling to that old cross. I want to cling to that message, to that redemption that God has provided for us. As you reflect on your past, you may recall days that seemed hopeless. Perhaps you've been misunderstood. You can remember when you've been misunderstood, when you've been, you've had heartache and you've been betrayed. Perhaps you've been disappointed. There are things that happen in this life. Maybe you've lost a loved one. You've had a death in your family that didn't seem like it should have happened. Maybe you've been abused as a child and you had nothing to do with it. Sometimes people say, I don't understand how God could allow a child to be abused and mistreated. Maybe you're one of those that's been mistreated and you've been abused, and you say, how could God have allowed that? I've lost my finances. I've had material loss. I've had loneliness. When you reflect on your life, but take courage. Because as you hear the words that the Holy Spirit spoke through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, he said, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. He has a beautiful plan for those who love Him. We cannot begin to imagine. I rode down the street several years ago. We were driving down the street and I saw a beautiful home. And we didn't have very much of a house to live in and wasn't what I would have liked. And I remember thinking, and I said, oh, I wish I had one of those beautiful homes that I was looking at. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, that's a shack compared to the home that I have prepared for you. It's just a shack. You know, Joshua works in construction and he'll look at a door and he says, oh man, they did a shabby job on this. Or look at baseboards and why did they do this? Well, I'm going to tell you, there are no flaws in that home that God has prepared for those who love Him. We cannot even imagine. We haven't even heard the beauty of it. And in Jeremiah, the Lord spoke through Jeremiah. He said to him, and He says to you today, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to give you a hope, not to harm you. I want to give you a hope and a future. That is what God says to you today. If you're watching this telecast, I want you to know that regardless of the past, the heartaches, God has a future for you. He has a plan, and it is not to harm you, but it is to bring you life and to bring you glorious provision. We may not always have the things, the material things that we would desire, but God has things that are even better than that. I encourage you to make the choice to serve God. If you have not made Him the Lord of your life, I encourage you to invite Him into your life now, and He will make the crooked places straight. He'll make the valleys rise and the mountains come down. There'll be a level path on which He will carry you through. I invite you today, if you'd like to make that decision, and it'll be a decision, the greatest choice you've ever made to serve Jesus Christ, to just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I recognize that You paid the penalty for my sins. I know that I have sinned against You. I have done things that I'm not proud of. But You came and gave Your life. You died on that cross to pay the penalty for my sins. I believe it. I believe that You rose from the dead and You did it for me. I accept that right now, Lord Jesus, and I invite You to be the Lord of my life. Take charge of my life. Help me follow You. I make the choice today to follow You in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you that Jesus has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you made that choice and meant it with all your heart, you're now a child of the King. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May you have a blessed week. What a wonderful privilege it is for us to be able to make a choice to serve Jesus. I'm so glad He didn't force us and say, you're going to do this whether you like it or not. But He gave us that choice. And with such a feeling of contentment to know that He loves me. He loves you. You are the apple of His eye. He loves you. Amen. Is there someone here today you say, I need special prayer? I did not ask prayer for Maria Figueroa. She called me yesterday and told me that she was not feeling well. And I said, well, she said, but I'm okay. But I don't feel well. I have a headache. And I have, anyway. And she said, but Pastor, I'll be there tomorrow. And I said, you take care of yourself. So she's not here. And I'm glad that if you know, we want you to be in church. But if you don't feel well, then I encourage you to take care of your body. Let the Lord give you direction and wisdom. Don't spread it to somebody else, but be careful. And don't be afraid, but be careful, okay? So we want to pray as we are dismissed today. We want to pray for Maria Figueroa. And is there anyone else who wants special prayer? I know that we took our needs to the Lord earlier. Is there, okay, Irene?
Continue to remember my brother.
Okay, let's continue to remember. His name is
Chuck.
All right. Yes, Bob.
Myself personally, but Adolfo called, and his stepmother went into the hospital. She's in a coma. Her organs are shutting down, but I'm not so sure that she's having a relationship with the Lord. And I'm just praying that everybody would be in agreement as the Lord could bring her out and bring somebody to her to give her that opportunity.
Yeah.
And once again, it'd be, we know the Lord touches people.
Yes.
So
we have, Satan has come against us. We have restrictions where once we minister to people on a deathbed or in a hospital, and now we cannot go into the hospitals, but we can pray and let the Holy Spirit go and minister to them. And so we want to do that. Does Adolfo work on Sundays? Don't know. Okay.
He needs to draw close back to the Lord.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I really... would like to encourage him to, and I know I'm sure you are doing that, Bob. Okay, as we are dismissed, let's just stand together as we're dismissed today. Is there anyone who has something you want to share? I don't want to dismiss. Sometimes people say, well, I wish I could have shared this. I'd like to, and I don't want to dismiss if you have something you want to say.
I don't know if you have given the update about baby Abel.
No, I have not.
Okay, so baby Abel has come home now, but the mom needs prayer because she has not been able to take care of herself very well. She's had to go back to the hospital. She's had some issues. I don't know, but I guess they sent her home to just be praying for her.
This is the baby that Grace's friend gave birth to, this little baby, and he's had some real... two or three heart surgeries, and he's had some challenges. And of course, you know, it's very strenuous on a mother, a new mother, to have to go back and forth. And so we need to pray for Alyssa, is her name, and just hold her up in prayer. And it's hard. You know, I can't imagine the heartache of watching your baby suffer, and it's tough. We need to just ask the Lord to be with her especially, okay? Let's just bow our heads as we're dismissed. Dear Lord, you have heard the needs that have been mentioned. I lift to you, Chuck, that you will be with him and strengthen him. I lift to you right now, Maria Figueroa. Oh, God, I pray that you will touch her body and encourage her. Lord, I ask you for Alyssa, for strength for her body and for little Abel, oh, God. I ask you, Lord, to meet the need that is so present in our lives, in each of our families, oh God. The things that perhaps we have not thought to mention and yet you know about, I pray that you will just go into the hospital rooms where the people are needing a touch, oh God. This one that we don't know whether or not Adolfo's mother is born again. We don't know anything about it, but I pray for Adolfo. That you will touch his heart, O God, and that he will come under the word of God, and that he will surrender to your Lordship in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you'll go with us. We are dismissed from this place here, but not from your presence, O God. Let your presence go with us wherever we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.